It's my privilege to be here tonight, and I thank Dr. Custer for allowing me to come. My burden for being here tonight, not being one of your supported missionaries, was simply to give you more insight into the ministry that, by God's grace, Juanita Hall is ministering in, and by His grace, Tracy Miller and Aaron Byram will be ministering in. And I hope that that will help you folks to be able to pray more informed to the Lord. That would be a tremendous benefit to these ladies. That is my purpose for being here. Of course, I want to bring glory to the Lord, and He should get all of the glory. One day, back in 1986, having made a short trip to Berlin and having viewed the East, we decided, though the route was shorter, to return to Tübingen to go straight south, because that would have meant traveling longer in East Germany, that we would take a longer route home and a shorter route through East Germany. And we traveled directly west instead of directly south. And I had played a game of chess against my father-in-law and, as usual, had lost. And he was playing someone else. And I looked out to the left, which would have been toward the south, and saw high-rise apartments. Now, years ago, when we would travel around the Beltline in Chicago, my father would say to me, with reference to the high-rise apartments, "Brad," or "boys, each one of those buildings is itself a mission field." And when I looked out in Germany, while still in East Germany, and saw those high-rise apartments, I thought, "Brad, each of those buildings is a mission field." And so I bowed my head and prayed and rededicated myself to the Lord for His ministry, but also prayed for that city, not knowing its name. One day, years later, I was coming back from the embassy in Berlin, or from the consulate, and as my aunt likes to say, it was like deja vu all over again. And I looked down to the south and I realized, hey, that's the city that I prayed for years ago. And it was Magdeburg. And we already lived there. And what a confirmation it was. We already knew that it was the Lord's will, but it was just wonderful to see how the Lord had led. And so we give Him all the praise and are so grateful. I wish that you could meet my wife and other children, but in a sense you have. I know I'm aging. When Dr. Custer said to me tonight, "Now, was it you or was it your dad that tuned our piano?" Okay, he put me in my place. All right. I'd like for us now to open our Bibles for a few minutes, and please open them to 2 Timothy. Interestingly enough, on my last furlough, I often concentrated on a verse from 2 Timothy 2, where we read in the second part of verse 9, "But the word of God is not bound." Those words have captivated me. No pun intended. They have. They've really captivated my thinking for a number of years. The word of God is not bound. And I praise the Lord for that, but that is not the theme tonight. I've been struck by an astonishing realization that some Christians, and I'm thinking of Christians in Greenville, some Christians do not even know unsaved people. When I heard that, I just was dumbstruck. And then I heard it from a second independent witness. Another person who knew no unsaved people. Could that be? Can that be? I would say that these people did not bear any guilt or responsibility for that. They were just victims of their circumstances, one might say. But it's very, very important that we all be actively participating in the gospel. And in this passage, in the first two chapters, and I know that in the minutes that are remaining, you can scarcely consider two chapters. But in these two chapters, we find five biblical reasons to participate actively in the gospel. But how can you participate actively in the gospel if you know no one who's unsaved? So perhaps that's where it ought to start.
I was reading in another translation, and that's one of the nice things about being bilingual. And in the following verses, I saw similar phrases. In chapter 1, verse 6, a phrase on the order of, "for this reason." In other words, "wherefore I put thee in remembrance." And you'll notice that after each of the "wherefores" or "for this reason," the pronoun is "I," Paul speaking. "For this reason, I." And then if you look at verse 8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed." And we'll see "therefore" twice. You've heard that trite and true phrase, if you see "therefore," ask why, what it's there for. And that we've heard it so often that it doesn't make an impact on us anymore. But anytime Paul says "therefore" in these references I'll make reference to, it will be "therefore you." "For this reason, I," and "therefore you." That was verse 8. And then in verse 12, For the which cause, I. And then in chapter 2, "thou therefore, my son." So he's talking to someone in the second person. And then in chapter 2, verse 10, "therefore I," or "for this cause I." Now, that was all somewhat technical, but we want to examine the reasons for active participation in the gospel. When I examined chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, I saw that Paul made some personal comments to his son in the faith, Timothy, and then also reminded him of his relationship to his grandmother and mother, both believing ladies, perhaps still living, perhaps already in heaven at that point. And I just want to say to you that one of the reasons that we should be actively participating in the gospel is that one day we will meet up with those who've gone on before. Have you ever thought of that? Christians who've gone on before, we're going to see them someday. And perhaps they will ask us, "And how did things go after I left the earth?" And what are you going to say? Are you going to say you punched a time card? There's nothing wrong in punching a time card. But are you going to be able to describe the rest of your life after they had passed on in terms of participation in the gospel? Will you have anything to say? I hope you will. And there's more than one way, of course, to be participating actively in the gospel. And we'll not go into that tonight, though several ways are mentioned in these two chapters. But one of these days, I'll meet up with Paul. And eternity is long, so I suppose he'll find time to ask me, "Were you active in the gospel?" I don't know if we get those crowns back that we cast at Jesus' feet. If we do, I suppose he'll be able to tell by my reward or lack of it in to what degree I was active in the gospel. But Timothy also had relatives, godly, saintly women. And actually, I have also had godly, saintly women in my life. I gave my grandmother Mackenzie this study Bible years ago. It was the last Bible that she had in her earthly sojourn. And when she passed away, I got the Bible back. And so I'm preaching from her Bible tonight. One of these days, I assume I will be somewhere in some region of heaven, and she will probably ask me how things went. She herself wanted to be a missionary, and then she married out of God's will. Once she'd married, it was God's will for her to stay married, but she married out of God's will a man who had no interest in going to the mission field. I thank the Lord that this man now knows the Lord. He's 99. Lord willing, he'll turn 100 before we go back to Germany. But in a sense, I'm doing that which she never did. Now, she raised an ecumenical family. My father pastored Bible and Baptist churches. My uncle pastors a Presbyterian church. My other uncle pastors an evangelical Lutheran church. But anyway, she's got her missionaries as grandchildren. And I don't want to have to hang my head. I know there are no tears after a certain point in heaven, God will wipe away all the tears, and I praise Him for that. But I don't want to have to hang my head, and I'm sure you don't want to either. So for this reason, Paul says, kindle afresh the gift. And we need to do that now and then. If the flame dies down, if the coals are cooling, then we need to kindle or rekindle that gift that God has given us. For Timothy, it was through the laying on of hands. For us, it came at the point of our conversion. But each one of us has a gift, at least one. So you will meet again those who went on before. And there's another good reason to be actively participating in the gospel, and we find that along the verses 6 and 7. One of these days, we'll give an account for the gifts God's given us. Now, I can tell you one of the gifts that Timothy did not have, and that was timidity. That was not at all a gift. Fearfulness. Cowardice. But that is one of those things that, I wouldn't call it a gift, but it cripples many believers. I don't know at what point I reached a point where I began saying out loud, praise the Lord. And I'm not encouraging you to be fake. But, you know, when you're out in the world, you have opportunities sometimes to praise the Lord. And you think, praise the Lord, but then you don't say it. But there came a point when I decided from now on, I'm just going to say praise the Lord, whether they like it or not. And I think that that was the point at which the Lord began to give me victory over cowardice. I never thought of myself really as much of an evangelist. And even to this day, I know that the Lord has allowed me to do the work of an evangelist, but I never really considered myself gifted as an evangelist. And yet, I think that a person goes a long way down the road of evangelism if he can just open his mouth and give God the glory. Speak freely about the Lord. Few people are doing it. Many people have bumper stickers. I'm thankful for that. Many people attend church. But do you speak about your Lord? That's a very good way to start. If you'll just say, praise the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll get into a witnessing situation one way or another, because they're going to be curious. And once you've said that, you've come out. It'll be much easier to witness for the Lord once you've just simply mentioned Him. So you'll give an account for the gift someday. And you'll also give an account for your calling. Are you fulfilling God's calling in your life? When we read down a little further, we notice in this passage that God has an eternal calling for our lives. He saved us, of course, that's an eternal purpose in verse 9. And He has called us by His grace. And I'm thankful that the gifts and calling of the Lord are without repentance. But are you living for His purpose? And are you living up to His calling and purpose? In the musical, The Fiddler on the Roof, the father figure in the film, and I don't remember his name for sure, asks in a humorous moment, would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? And I think that oftentimes we do fall short of that vast eternal plan, because we have the same desire as that man in, I think it's called Anatevka in German, The Fiddler on the Roof. God's purpose is a purpose from all eternity, and it's a purpose of life and immortality. It was made possible by the gospel, and it is that purpose for which you may well be appointed. In fact, I believe you are. And for this reason, Paul says, be willing to suffer. Be an active participant in the gospel. And are we actively participating in the gospel? One of these days we'll meet on the streets of heaven, those who have gone on before. One of these days we'll give an account for the gifts that God has given us. And one of these days we'll give an account as to whether we have fulfilled God's purpose for our life. But let's go on briefly and consider that one day the Lord will grant mercy to those who have suffered for his cause. Have you ever suffered for the Lord's cause? The Bible tells us that all they that live godly in Christ, will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. Is that your will, to live godly in Christ Jesus? Then you shall suffer persecution. And we read in the Gospels that persecution is not always to the point of shedding blood or losing a life. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you and say all manner of evil falsely. For this is the way that they did with reference to the Lord Jesus and others. Do people speak evil of you? Have you in this sense suffered persecution? Have you been maligned for the sake of the Lord? If you will live godly in Christ Jesus, this will come automatically. Sometimes it's simply a matter of identifying with a man of God who himself is being persecuted. That was the situation here. Paul was even imprisoned, and all of Asia forsook him. But there was a man, Onesiphorus, who stood to him or stood by him. And this may be your opportunity. And if you'll do that, if you'll be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, God will show you or grant you mercy in that day, a specific day in the future, a day of reckoning. Therefore, be strong. But the most important reason to be active in the gospel is simply this: our Lord Jesus Christ was. The Bible tells us in chapter 2 and verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure. And he was actively participating in an enduring way in the gospel. Why? Because he remembered the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps the reason we're not as active in the gospel as we ought to be is because we've forgotten our very Lord Jesus Christ. If we could keep him before our eyes, then I don't think it would be a great art to be actively participating in the gospel. This was Paul's motivation. It wasn't the souls themselves, but it was the Lord that primarily motivated Paul. Therefore, he endured all things. Paul suffered hardship. He identified with the Lord, and Paul encouraged Timothy to do the same. So he said, for this reason, I remind you. For this reason, I suffer. And for this reason, I endure. And therefore, do not be ashamed. Therefore, be strong. The emphasis here is on participating in the gospel. I don't live in Greenville any longer. I live in an atheistic land. And in an atheistic land, there are many, many opportunities to invite people in or to go to their home to interest them in God and ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Greenville, it's so much different. Or in Greer or in Taylor's. You drive to church on Sunday or even Wednesday, and the parking lots are full. Amazing. Amazing. This is culture shock for me. I'm not saying that all these people are saved. And so it might seem difficult or impossible to invite people to your home to discuss Christ or to read the Bible together or to interest people in the Lord. But I believe that the Lord can help us to be actively participating in the gospel. I don't think that the only participation this church or you folks should have, and I'm not accusing, please understand, but I do not think that the only participation that we should have in the Greenville area is by giving and sending, giving to missions and sending missionaries, or even sending our own children. And I'm grateful to the Lord for the three from this church that will be in Germany for a limited or perhaps for a longer time. But is there anyone you even know that's unsaved? And if so, what are you doing that these people will not remain unsaved? The emphasis tonight from the Word of God is active participation, whether it's suffering or some other way. But can you say, can you honestly say before the Lord, before whom you will stand someday, and before whom you now serve, that there's some means by which you are actively participating in the gospel? If not, I would encourage you, I would urge you to examine the Lord's will for your life in this regard. There is no peace, no joy, no thrill like walking in His will. Can His will, however, exclude active participation in the gospel? Perhaps it can. But for my way of thinking, it's doubtful. You may say, I'm not gifted. Well, you're gifted, maybe just not in evangelism. But you don't have to be an evangelist to be active in the work of evangelism. And I just want to lay it on your heart to explore. Meet people. If everybody that works at your grocery store is saved, couldn't you go to another grocery store? Don't go to the ABC store, okay? But can you not find some lost people somewhere and make them your mission field? By God's grace, I hope that you will. I hope that you are. But may the Lord allow each of us to have the privilege of being influential in leading someone to the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege. And it shouldn't just be reserved for foreign missionaries. And though Greenville and this area is supposedly the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, there are unsaved folks here. And may God allow us to reach some of them for Him. Let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, I personally thank you for the opportunity to minister to this church of renown, to minister before people that I myself esteem. To minister your word at all is a great privilege, and to lay before the hearts and eyes of people the needs of a foreign field that you have opened up, and you could close, in a sense, to us at any time, at your whim or your pleasure, for you are not a whimsical God. But Lord, I pray that we'll never be satisfied to let other people do the work or to think in terms of other people as being the missionaries, because actually, I believe you would encourage us all to be actively participating in the gospel. So would you help us, please, to reconsider our own personal responsibility so that if it's possible to hang one's head in heaven, that will not be our fate, and so that we can give an accounting, a good accounting, for the gifts and calling, and so that we can be like our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was, of all people, the most involved in the ministry of the gospel. We pray it in His name. Amen.